of Sons Ministries, bringing nations into sonship.
What is money? Money is money. What is church? The family of God on earth. That's what church is, right? God's establishment on earth. Hallelujah. And who is the church? Not what is. We just defined what is. Who is the church? Who is the church? Me and you, us, right? So the message is about what? Money and us. The people that constitute the church. Glory to Jesus. So let's look at money and church. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. 1 Timothy 6, 5 to 10. We'll read from TLB. And from there, we'll jump over to the Message Bible. Now it says to Timothy, these arguers, their minds warped by sin, don't know how to tell the truth. To them, the good news is just a means of making money. Says to Timothy, keep away from them. Now, he's talking to Timothy that, Timothy, there are people in your local church, there are people in your vicinity, there are people in your locale, and these are just arguers. These are people who don't know the truth, and even if they knew the truth, they wouldn't bother so much about the truth. All right? Now, he says to Timothy, these guys, to them, the good news is just, it means the gospel. You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of salvation, is just a means of making money. He says, keep away from them. You see? So Timothy had to deal with this issue, with this problem at the time. The Apostle Paul was there as a spiritual father, and he was speaking with authority over the life of Timothy. We have the same if it hasn't gotten really, really worse and bad in our day and age. You see, but now you have a lot of young leaders that do not necessarily have anybody who's talking over with authority over their lives. You see that, church? And this is one of the reasons why you see the mess, the huge mess that the church is in today. Because, you know, if you're outside the church and you're not inside the church, you really would struggle to make a distinction between a church and a business. Because if you would see, in this day and age, church has become business, and a thriving business at that. Am I talking to somebody? So there are a lot of ministers, there are a lot of churches, to them the good news, the gospel, is just another means of making money. So this, why is the Lord talking about this? It is because we cannot continue shying away from this and pretend that it's not happening. All right? And because this is one of the major reasons why we are struggling to have people who are born again. There is not much struggle to get people to church. But you see, to have people in church that are born again is a different thing altogether. Glory to God. Anyone can woo people in. Anyone. You can do tricks. You can employ deceptive tactics and so on and so forth. You can really woo people into church. But for people to be really born again, it's a different story. You see, now, here's the thing. We who are not peddling the gospel of Jesus Christ for money, we cannot trick people in, because we don't have tricks inside. Because if you can trick them in, you can only keep them by tricks again. Hallelujah. So the Lord wants us to talk about this, because this is one area. Money is one area that the devil has really made inroads into the church with. Glory to Jesus. And this has stifled, it has killed the message of truth. It has completely quenched out the Holy Spirit. Completely quenched out the Holy Spirit. So now we are having demons that are having a full day in places that are supposed, or were supposed, to be churches, right? But now what I love, he says to Timothy, keep away from the people who are using the gospel to make money. Now, it's a wonderful thing that an elder would speak to a local pastor. Says, "Pastor, men of God, run away from such people. Run away from such people." What was Paul saying? Do not become like them. Don't become like them. Hallelujah. Yours is to fulfill your calling. Number 6. Do you want to be truly rich? You already are if you are happy and good. After all, we didn't bring any money with us when we came into the world. And we can't carry away a single penny when we die. Now he's trying to raise an awareness to Timothy about the futility of it all. It's really futile. He says, Timothy, you can gain money by trickery. You can do whatever you do to have money and to have lots of it. But here's the thing. You were not born into the world carrying money. And you surely will not carry any money out of the world when you die. Now he says, it's vanity of vanities. This is really futile. Can you really lose your life? Can you really go to hell for something that is temporary, for something that you find in the world, and when you exit this world, you will leave it in the world? Now, he's trying to draw this picture to this young man, to this pastor. He says, "Men of God, it's vanity of vanities." And I'm hoping that the men of God who are watching, vanity of vanities. Hallelujah. Number 8. So we should be well satisfied without money if we have enough food and clothing. But people who long to be rich soon begin to do all kinds of wrong things to get money. Can you see that? People who want to be rich, people who have lust for money, L-U-S-T. You know, there are different kinds of lust. People talk about sexual lust and lust for this, but there's also lust for money. And lust for money is just as deadly. It's not any better. It's just as deadly. He says, now the people who have lust for money, he says, they will soon begin to do all kinds of wrong things to get the money. They will try, they will go to any extent, you know, to get money by any and every means possible. They will employ any and every means possible. Why is that so? It is because lust is insatiable. Lust never gets better. It does not matter what that lust is for. It doesn't matter what kind of lust. As long as it is L-U-S-T, it never gets better. Lust always presses a demand on you. And every time you are trying to satisfy this demand, and we are being wooed deeper and deeper and deeper into danger and into mess, total mess. Am I talking to your friends? So this is deadly. Lust for money is very deadly, extremely deadly. And over in the Bible, we are being warned about lust for money. We are being warned about loving money. We are being warned about loving the world and the things that are in the world. You've heard it said that money makes the world go round. You've heard it said. But God never created money, did he? It's a medium of exchange that we devised for ourselves. Money makes the world go round. That's not right. Now he says, 9, but people who long to be rich soon begin to do all kinds of wrong things to get the money. Things that hurt them and make them evil-minded and finally send them to hell itself. That's what I was saying. They begin to help to hurt themselves and their eventuality is hell itself. Because now, because of the lust for money, you begin to chase money, follow after money instead of following after God. But you see, friends, any trickery, any deception, any device of the devil, it never begins huge. It starts small. It starts small. But that's what I'm saying, that lust, it begins small, but lust is insatiable. It's insatiable. Lust always gets worse. Lust never gets better. Gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And make them evil-minded. Why evil-minded? Because they're looking, they're trying to get the money by any and every means possible. Hook and crook. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. You see that? Number 10. It says, for the love of money is the first step toward all kinds of sin. Can you see that? For the love of money is the first step toward all kinds of sin. Now, this is love of money. This is lust of money. But it leads a person into all kinds of sin. Can you see that? Now, you look at the money, you say, my goodness, no, there's nothing wrong with money. Money is innocent. But you see, this is just a gateway to somewhere. It leads a person to all kinds of sin. People murder for money. Murder is sin. People prostitute their bodies. Prostitution is sin. Can you see that? So, but what is the root? The lust for money. The love for money. But it opens a door into hell itself. Into hell itself. For the love of money is the first step toward all kinds of sin. It says, some people have even turned away from God because of their love for it. And as a result, have pierced themselves with many sorrows. Now, some people have fallen away from the faith. Some people have turned away from God. Now, it's telling you, these people were truly children of God, born again. But for the love of money, but for the lust of money, they've quenched out the Holy Spirit of their lives. They have no God. They are godless. All right? Although they might still be carrying the tag of Christianity, but they are godless. God had long departed. And most of them are not aware. You see? Because the Word of God says, people, they are deceiving, they themselves being deceived. See? Some of them are not even aware. They think that they are still walking with God, but they are no longer walking with God. Glory to Jesus. They are godless in the world, but these were truly authentic, born-again children of God. They walked with the Lord, but because they allowed the seed of lust for money. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, money is not evil by itself. The church needs to have a very healthy, wholesome relationship with money. Money is not evil by itself. Money is by no means evil by itself. Money is not evil by itself. Money is innocent by itself. The church needs to have a healthy, a wholesome relationship with money. We individuals in the church, we as individual believers, we need to develop a wholesome relationship with money. A wholesome relationship. Because if you allow lust for money, it closes God off out of your life completely. It shuts him out completely. Shuts him out completely. Let's go to the message. Okay, but that verse number 10 there, the last part says, and as a result have pierced themselves with many sorrows. They will regret it. All lovers of money will regret it. All lovers of money. Momentarily, things may seem to be going right for them. Things may seem to be going well for them. But the Word of God says they pierce themselves with many sorrows. Momentarily, it may look like it's okay. It may look like the person is doing well. But the sorrow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But now you notice, lust for money comes before the sorrow of money. Money is sorrow, but first is the lust before the sorrow comes in. Glory to the Father above. The Message Bible 9 to 11a. Are we there? Is it up there? Now it says, but if it's only money these leaders are after. You see? Leaders. That's why Paul is saying, don't be like them. Timothy, you are a leader of a church. Timothy, you are a pastor. Timothy, you are a man of God. Timothy, don't be like other men of God who have gone down this route. Don't be like other men of God who are now backslidden because of the lust for money. Can you see that? It says, these leaders. So they were leaders, church. They had people that were following them. And of course, they were fleecing the people. And of course, they were employing tricks because they loved riches, to be wealthy. They wanted money, more money, more money, more money. But the want for money is insatiable, cannot be satisfied. Am I talking to somebody? The want for more money is insatiable. The want for more money cannot be satisfied. You see, when you have a need for more money, or rather when you have a want for more money, you can't satisfy it. Even if they keep giving you, that thing keeps demanding more. They give you, it keeps demanding more. Now it tells you there's a demon here. There's a spirit, because money by itself is innocent. But if it's only money these leaders are after, they'll self-destruct in no time. Glory to God. Says Timothy, they will self-destruct in no time. They are a danger to themselves. A person who is a lover of money and not a lover of God is a danger to themselves and is a danger to others. Brings ruin, brings destruction. In Proverbs, it says the person destroys their own family. They destroy their community. Everybody who has a lust for money, who is going to any extent to get it, they destroy themselves. They destroy their loved ones. They destroy people around them. Without a shadow of doubt. Without a shadow of doubt. Glory to God. And it's the word of God. Mind you, we're not reading a newspaper. This is the word of God. And we're not reading fake news either. Let's take it against us. But if it's only money these leaders are after, they'll self-destruct in no time. Lust for money brings trouble and nothing but trouble. Lust for money brings trouble and nothing but trouble. Lust for money brings trouble and nothing but trouble. Lust for money brings trouble and nothing but trouble. Going down that path, some lose their footing in the faith completely and live to regret it bitterly ever after. They lose their footing in the faith completely and they live to regret it ever after. God says, nothing good comes out of lust for money whatsoever. You know? Because now we are being subservient to money. So we are being subservient to the demon that is using money. Can you see? So now we are a slave to a spirit you know nothing about. We're not even aware of it. But it's bigger than a person. It's bigger than a human being. Oh, hallelujah. 11a says, but you, Timothy, man of God, run for your life from all this. How many men and women of God, they are running for their life from the love of money? How many in this day we are living in? How many? How many men? You see, he says, but you, Timothy, man of God. You see, it's one thing to be called man of God. It's one thing to call yourself man of God. But it's another thing when God knows you as one. Why? Because true men of God, they run away. They run for their life from the temptation of money. They run for their life. Now, that's when we know this is a true woman of God. This is a true man of God, because they run for their life. That's why we can know that Timothy was a true man of God. He didn't entertain this. And he was told by his father, spiritual father, to run away from it. You see, when somebody has lust for money, it manifests, it's everywhere. You don't need to look for it. You don't need to search for it. It's right there. Why? Because it is an evil spirit and you cannot hide it. Remember, it's an evil spirit, and once it's taken control of you, once it's taken over you, now it begins to manifest. Am I talking to somebody? So somebody who's been caught up in this spirit or by this spirit of a love of money or lust for money, it's all over to see. It's there for everyone to see. Those who don't see it because they choose not to see it, they choose to ignore it, but they can see it by the ignoring it. But it says they will self-destruct in no time. They'll kill themselves. They will live to regret it ever after. They will live to regret it bitterly, he says. They will live to regret it bitterly ever after. They're piercing themselves with all kinds of sorrows. Christ has become for us riches. Christ has become for us wealth. Christ has become for us everything that we need. Christ has become that. That's why it says, you are already rich. You are Christ's. You're already rich. And the Bible does say that God has given us all things to enjoy. God has given us all things for our enjoyment. So there is no point to try to devise evil means to become rich. No. God is very capable of blessing his people. God is very capable of making his people rich. God is very capable of making his people wealthy. But you see, these people that fall under the trap of the love of money or under the trap of the lust for money is because they want to be rich their own way, and they want to be rich quickly. And number three, they want to be rich for wrong reasons, for all the wrong reasons. Because the money, the riches, or whatever they have, it stroke their pride. Stroke their pride. Glory to God. It says, but you, Timothy, man of God, run for your life. Run for your life from all of this. Run. Run. Don't flirt with it. Run. Can you see that? Don't flirt. Don't be there to flirt. Don't be there to begin to imagine possibilities. No. Don't be there to say, if, maybe, you know, perhaps. No. Don't flirt. Let's be pursuers of God, not pursuers of money, not pursuers of the riches of this world, not pursuers of possessions. We've brought none into the world and will surely take none out of the world. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God our Father. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Now, this is Paul, who was still Paul talking to Timothy, right? But now he was talking to him about choosing and appointing leaders in the church. So he was giving him a criteria of leaders, criteria. You see, there's nothing like, God has called me, God has chosen me, God has commissioned me, God has given me my ministry. No, my friend, there's a criteria. Because you say all of those things, then you say, nobody can tell me anything. That's not true. God gave me my ministry. Nobody can tell me anything. Yeah, but you see, that's why we are killing yourself and you are killing your ministry and you are killing the people that are following you. Because nobody can tell you anything. No, there's a criteria. Paul gave to Timothy a criteria. Even Timothy himself had a criteria for himself. There were things that, even the scripture that we just read, when you continue, it tells him what to pursue. You see, there are things a man of God should pursue, and there are things a man of God must never, ever, ever, ever pursue. That's the gospel. That's the word of God. A man of God is not at liberty to do as they please. No. A true man of God, that is, because these days the term man of God, we are using it very loosely. A true servant of God. There are things to pursue, there are things not to pursue. There's no gray area. If you're a true servant of God, there's no gray area. There are do's and don'ts, there are permissible things, and there are things that are totally, utterly not permissible for you. See that? But today, we are living in a different era. It says, now the criteria was given to Timothy for choosing leadership. He says, Timothy, you must choose someone not given to wine. So this must not be someone who likes alcohol, because they will have babalas in the morning when they have to come to lead the people of God. All right? Now, not combative, yes, but gentle, considerate, not quarrelsome, but forbearing and peaceable, and not a lover of money. A leader is not permitted to be a lover of money. A pastor, a man of God, a woman of God, a minister is not permitted by Scripture to be a lover of money. Is not permitted by Scripture to be a pursuer of money, but is permitted by Scripture to be a lover of God and a pursuer of God. There's the Babel. It's near Quarantine. There's a Babel.
This is the Bible.
The Heilige Babel.
Not the newspaper. It's the Holy Bible.
This is not fake news. But this day and age, how many ministers, how many men of God, how many women of God are truly lovers of God and not lovers of money? Let me remind you. When the demon of lust for money has taken over a person, see, very sadly, it's ruling the person. Demons seek to manifest. That's why you see people flaunting what they have. You see, what the spirit that is controlling them is the one that is seeking manifestation. That's why they can't hide what they have. Because they are caught in this web. See, spirit of deception. Not to be a lover of money. So what was this? This is an exclusion criteria for leadership in church. People are watching me. This is an exclusion criteria for leaders in church. It's an excluding criteria. That means when a man or a woman is a lover of money, they may lead a church, they may be a leader in church, but they are not known by God in heaven. It's an exclusion criteria. Must not be a lover of money. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are focusing on money today. It says, must not be given to one. We don't even want to go there. We don't even want to go there. You know? Let's focus on money for today. That's our assignment for the night. 1 Peter 5:2, please. Must not be a lover of money. So that means, Timon, if this pastor, if this minister, if this man of God or woman of God, if they are lovers of money, biblically, they are forbidden to lead in the church. They're forbidden. They're not permitted by Scripture. And this is the word of God that is forever settled in heaven. I say, this is the word of God. And that's why he tells you that person must be a husband of one wife, because he knows it must not be a person who likes women. A pastor who likes women biblically is excluded from leadership. So he says, must be a husband of one wife. But we're not talking about that today. We're talking about money. How many people like this are leading churches? And they are wreaking havoc in the church. It's sad. It said it's happening in our day, in our time, in our era. It's happening right on our watch. But what is the problem? People, they don't want to go into the Word of God and begin to interrogate the Word of God to find out what God is saying. It's already been laid down. This Bible has laid down a foundation that no one can lay again. Amen. It's laid. That's it. It's done. Yes, please. 1 Peter 5:2. Now, continuing the subject of leadership, now it's Peter. He's talking to leaders. He's talking to shepherds of ministries. He's talking to shepherds of God's people. He's talking to pastors. He's talking to prophets. He's talking to apostles. He's talking to evangelists. He's talking to teachers. He says to them, shepherd the flock of God which is among you. Yes? Serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not for dishonest gain, not for dishonest profit. Don't be there to dishonestly profit from God's people. Hallelujah. And don't use the church to gain wealth or to gain money or to gain an income in a dishonest manner, in an underhand manner. It's forbidden by Scripture. It's forbidden by Scripture. That means we pastors, we can never use our ministries, all right, to our advantage, to fulfill our lustful desires. Let me say that again. We pastors are forbidden by Scripture to use our ministries to fulfill our lustful desires. We ministers are forbidden by Scripture to use our ministries to fulfill our lustful desires. Where do we get this from? We just read it in Scripture. Not for dishonest gain. A pastor, a prophet, a bishop shall not be a lover of money. If the person is a lover of money, they must be set aside and be dealt with. But people are afraid. People are scared. Now, here's the thing. Heaven has already written that person off unless and until they repent. Tell your neighbor, say money in church. Not in the state, but in church. Jeremiah chapter number 17. The church of Jesus Christ is not a thoroughfare. The church of Jesus Christ is not do as you please, if it is a church of Jesus Christ. But you see, by church, we don't mean the building. We don't mean structure. By church, we mean the people. So the people of Jesus Christ are not there to be taken advantage of. No. We're going to read it from TLB. Jeremiah 17, 9 to 11, TLB. Are we there, my friends? Now, Jeremiah 17, 9 to 11 says, in TLB version, the heart is the most deceitful thing there is and desperately wicked. No one can really know how bad it is. Only the Lord knows. He searches all hearts and examines deepest motives so he can give to each person his right reward according to his deeds, how he has lived. God, he searches, he examines the hearts and the minds. God, he searches and examines the desires and motives of each person. You see, it's not what you do that God looks at. God looks at the motive. God looks looks deeper. See that? God looks deeper. He searches, he examines the hearts because the desires are in the heart, the mind, because the motives are there. What is the motive for this? That's what God looks at. Glory to God. He doesn't look on the surface. Number 11, it says, like a bird that fills her nest with young, she has not hatched, and which will soon desert her, and fly away, so is the man who gets his wealth by unjust means. Sooner or later, he will lose his riches and at the end of his life become a poor old fool. Can you see that? It says, like a bird that fills a nest with young, she has not hatched. So this bird is a thief. It's filling a nest with young, she has not hatched. Now it says, these chicks, because they've been stolen and raised up in another nest, it says, when these chicks become independent and they can fly on their own, they will desert this one. Now, he's giving a metaphor, a picture, a symbolism of a person who's making money in a wrong way. He says, sooner or later, you're going to lose it. This is the word of God. But today, God is talking about money and church. Money and church. The relationship. What relationship should be there between money and church? If any, what relationship? It should be healthy, wholesome relationship. Because God says, because here's the thing, God is the only blesser. You see, the kingdom of God is not lacking, you know, is not lacking blessings. The kingdom of God has got everything. The kingdom of God is self-sufficient. The kingdom of God is self-sustaining. That's why anybody who is born into the kingdom of God, they do not have to do anything to enrich themselves, because it is God who enriches us. There's no self-aggrandizement in the church of Jesus Christ. No, you don't look out for yourself. Every man, every woman for themselves. Not in the church of Jesus Christ. There's no self-aggrandizement. It's God who looks out for his people. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. So is the man. So he says, like a bird that fills a nest with young, she has not hatched, and which will soon desert and fly away. He says, all these ill-gotten gains will fly away from you. They will leave. Now, the person who was rich was supposedly having everything. God says in the end, by the way, again, this is the word of God that is forever settled in heaven. Can be changed. It says, so is the man who gets his wealth by unjust means. This is people in the church. This is pastors. These are leaders. These are ministers. These are men and women of God. Not every church is operating by the principles of purity, by the principles of righteousness, by the principles of godliness, by the principles of the fear of God. No, far from it. Even in scripture, biblically, even in biblical times, there were a lot of places like this. There were a lot of ministers like this. And it is such ministers and churches that Apostle Paul and other writers of the Gospels, we also just read from Peter, that were warning the children of God against. We are warned. Warned. Why warned? We are warned so that we do not fall into their cunning ways, into their device, the traps that they've devised to win people over. But they know what they're doing. Glory to God. Glory to God. It says, sooner or later he will lose his riches. Now listen to what he says. And at the end of his life, become a poor old fool. Can't keep it. You can't lose God's blessings, because God's blessings are given of God. You see, and God, when what God gives you is permanently yours. But you see, the blessing that you gave yourself, that you received from the devil, because you got it through satanic means, it will leave you. It will go. It will go. Please understand something. The Church of Jesus Christ is an institution. It's an institution with legacy. You see? That's why some churches, there's just no legacy. When the overseer dies, the church dies. When the overseer becomes paralyzed, the church is paralyzed. No. Church of Jesus Christ has got legacy. It's an institution. No institution is dependent on one person. No. There's a passing down of the baton. That's legacy. legacy is the passing down of the baton, because the institution must continue with or without the person. Oh, hallelujah. Everything that God starts, it's a blessing and it's permanent. It should and it will outlive you. It will outlast you here on earth. I know we will live forever, but here on earth it must outlive you. But not so with the people who are using underhand means to arrogate to themselves riches, wealth, money, and thereby displeasing God. And it says, such have already fallen away from the faith. They are no longer walking with God. They've fallen away from the faith. Hallelujah. Now, here's the thing about falling away from faith. Remember, man is justified by faith. So when you're falling away from the means through which you were justified, that means you are now under a curse. Man can only be justified by faith, but when man has fallen away from the faith, we have fallen away from the means and the substance by which and through which you are justified. That means now you have fallen into a curse. That's why, because it will lose everything. And you pierce yourself with lots of sorrows. Glory to my Father above. Luke chapter number 16, we'll read 13 to 15. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you got it? It says, no servant can serve two masters. It's impossible. No servant can serve two masters. It's impossible. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and mammon. You know, the King James, it calls this filthy lucre, unrighteous riches. Filthy. God called it filthy. You know? Because this is done at the expense of holiness, of righteousness, at the expense of God. Now we're saying, a person who is a lover of money cannot serve God. Because it's impossible, because that person cannot be faithful to God and be faithful to money. Will be loyal to either, but can't be loyal to both. You see? So that means every person who loves money is unfaithful to God. One. Number two, every person who loves money is disobedient to God. That's why he says, no servant can serve two masters. You can't serve God and money. You can't serve God and riches. You can't serve God and wealth. You can't serve God and possessions. You can't. Hallelujah. Because that person is already unfaithful to God. Number one. Number two, that person is already disobedient to God. He says, you cannot. You cannot. Now today, how many churches, how many pastors, how many ministers are walking daily in disobedience to God, are walking daily in disloyalty, in unfaithfulness to God? Thus says the word of God. It's written in black and white. It's written in black and white. Glory to the one above. Hallelujah, church, today. Hallelujah. Says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. So the lover of money is a hater of God. Because either he will love the one and hate the other. So a lover of money is a hater. So he says, you cannot serve God and mammon. Cannot. A child of God, the church of Jesus Christ, need and must have a healthy, a wholesome relationship with money. A wholesome relationship with the things of this world. A wholesome relationship with possessions. We must have a wholesome relationship with our possessions. But here's the thing. To some, money, possessions, and wealth and riches, if anything, it just amplifies pride. We sing a song just now. It says, Jesus, you be lifted high. Let me manifest Jesus. But what people are manifesting is not Jesus. What people are manifesting is their money. What people are manifesting are the possessions that they get through the money, not Jesus. They are flaunting what they are fake wealth. Why am I saying fake wealth? Because you didn't get it right in the first place. And number two, the word of God says, because you didn't get it right, you're going to lose it. It's going to fly away from you. That means all of us should have the wisdom, the rare wisdom of waiting on God and of waiting for God. The rare wisdom, the rare wisdom. We are not waiting for God because we're taking chances. No. He's already told us that we are blessed. We've got everything. But wait on God. Wait for God for that which is already yours to begin to manifest in your life. For that which that is already yours to begin to manifest in your ministry. It says it leads to all kinds of sin. Love of money leads to all kinds of sin. To all kinds of sins. People are trying to get money the wrong way because they are competitive. They want to be seen as if they are making it because they're competitive. They're looking at their neighbors around. That's what the word of God is calling covetousness and envy. Don't be. The word of God time and time again says, do not be envious. Because when you are envious, you're putting yourself under pressure. Can you see that? When you're envious, but how do you get envious? You get envious by what you see. You also want to have it, but it's not yours. So you begin to envy it. Now, because you envy it, now you want to have it. Can you see that? The lust for that thing, the love for that thing is leading to all kinds of sin. Don't be envious. People are competitive. They're envious. You know, they want to be seen. Why? Because their pride is at stake. Now he says, when you do that, you are no longer under God. You are under the spirit of mammon. You are under a wrong spirit altogether. That's why this spirit will lead you to do all kinds of things for you in pursuit of trying to get what you want. Can you see that, friends? The Church of Jesus Christ should have a healthy relationship with money. Money is a servant. We are not the servant of money. Can you see that? Money is there to serve you. No one can serve two masters, says God and money, because we are not there to serve money. We are there to serve God, not money. We are not to serve our possessions. We are there to serve God, not our possessions. We are not there to serve wealth when we get wealth or when we have riches. No, we're not to serve these things. These things are there to serve us. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I taught in this ministry that riches, wealth, prosperity is not a luxury. It is a need. It's not a luxury. Can you see that? But now, if everybody knew that it's not a luxury, that wealth is not a luxury, it's a need. Riches are not a luxury, they are a need. Money is not having lots of it. It's not a luxury, it's a need. It's a privilege, position, and place to be in. It's a privilege. But now, with that, because we are not a servant, but the money, your riches, your wealth is a servant to you. Now, because it's your servant, you begin to order it around and not the other way around, it ordering you around. Can you see that? I don't know when, not so long ago, I said, money makes people have needs that they never had. People were just at peace and content. When money comes suddenly, miraculously, supernaturally, they have needs that were not there before the money came. Now, what does it mean? The money is ordering the person around. The person is the servant of the money. Now the money is beginning to press demands. The money is beginning to order the person around. No, when you have money, money is your servant. You order money around. You tell money what to do. You assign your money what to do. Not the other way around. And do not you don't go all out to get it at any and every cost. No, you don't go all out. Glory to the Father. Man and church. The day we're living in. Let's continue. Number 14, it says, let me start from 13 so that we get this. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and riches. You cannot serve God and possessions. Now, the Pharisees were the leaders of the people, were the leaders of the people at the time. The Pharisees were the leaders of the people, were the leaders of synagogue, like we have church today. The Pharisees were the leaders in the synagogues. They were overseers, right? Now, 14 says, now the Pharisees who were lovers of money, leaders, the teachers of the law, The moral leaders of the people were lovers of money. Now, Jesus was addressing them like Jesus is addressing the church today. He's addressing specifically leadership because you realize that in the church, the lovers of money are the leaders, not necessarily the people. But the leaders are very greedy for money. Everything is money. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has lost meaning altogether. It has completely disappeared off the radar. It's money, 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 money. From morning, noon, evening, it's money. Morning, noon, evening, it's money. And here's the thing. The people who are inside the church, they can't see there's something wrong. The people who are not born again, they see in 4D. Amazing. The people who have no sense of spiritual discernment. But the people who ought to have discernment, who are within, can't see nothing. But the people, unbelievers, they can see. In 3D, my daughter. In 3D. There's something is wrong here. This is not church, this is business. But it's a church. The church is a facade. The church is a front. You know, 99%. It is money mongering, and only 1% is the word of God. But even then, this word of God is used to deceive, because 99% is money mongering. People outside, they can see it. Except for people inside the church, they can't see it. Their leaders are fleecing them day and night. Their leaders are getting rich on them day and night, but the people can't see it. The followers can't see it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You are enriching a person who's going to stand in front of you and begin to boast to you. Can you see that? You're enriching a person who's going to turn around and stand in front of you and begin to boast to you, but you are the one who enabled what the person has got. Paul says, if I boast in anything, let it be in Christ. If I boast in anything, let it be in Christ. But the leaders of today in the church, they are boasting in anything apart from Jesus. They are boasting in anything but Christ. They are boasting in the size of their congregation. They are boasting in the size, in the looks of their church. They are boasting in whatever they have, but not in Jesus Christ. Paul says, if I make a boast, if it's in anything, let it be in Christ my Lord and Savior. Pastors today, they are living like rock stars. But the word of God says clearly says, the person who desires righteousness, who desires to live righteously, he says, that person will suffer persecution. That doesn't sound like a rock star to me. That doesn't sound like a rock star to me. Anyone who desires to live godly, everyone who desires to live righteously, the word of God says, that person will suffer persecution. It doesn't sound like the word of God is talking to a rock star. Jesus Christ says to his leaders, says, I'll give you everything. I'll give you everything, whatsoever you left, whatsoever you lost for me and for the gospel's sake, I'm going to give it to you, and with persecutions, but not the pastors of today. Doesn't sound like a rock star to me. Why? Because God is wise beyond measure. When he gives you the blessings, the persecutions are there to keep you in check. The persecutions are there to keep you humble. The persecutions are there to keep you on the line, on the right track. Amen. That's why he says, I'll give you everything with persecution, because he knows. He knows. Hallelujah. But you see, your own blessings have got no persecutions, except for the persecutions you bring upon yourself. And please, let's understand persecution. Persecution means to suffer wrongfully, not rightfully. To suffer not because you've done something wrong. Now, people are doing wrong, and when justice is meted out to them, they're saying it's persecution. No way, sir. No way, sir. You did what you did. This is not persecution. What we are saying is persecution is justice. So don't confuse persecution and justice. Don't confuse persecution and justice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Persecution, we are suffering wrongfully. You haven't done it, but God has permitted it. You see, you are suffering wrongfully. But if you are suffering rightfully for what you have done, that's justice. People are confusing justice and persecution. They're not the same. Jesus said, I will bless you with persecution. That's different. You can't bless yourself and say, now I'm suffering persecution. No, but you bless yourself, God did not bless you. It's the blessing of God that comes with persecution, not your own. Your own comes with punishment for what you've done. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to Jesus. What a God we serve. Let's continue. Number 14. Now the Pharisees were lovers of money. So sad. What a sad state. Who were lovers of money also heard all these things, and they derided him. Of course they would ridicule him, because they knew he was talking about them. Glory to God. They knew. That's why when you begin to preach the word of God as inspired by the Holy Spirit, people begin to deride, they begin to ridicule, because they can tell. But you see, their ridicule is not based on anything in the Word of God. It's got no basis. It's got no foundation. And he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. That's a prophecy. I'm giving a prophecy tonight. That's what God said to me. He said, for what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. What people are celebrating, what people are fighting for, what people are willing to die for, God says you have your own esteem among the people, but you are an abomination before God. And he says, you are the ones who justify yourselves among people. You make yourself look good to people, but you know that inside you are as evil as hell. You are as evil as a grave. I'm not talking to you. I told you that the Lord gave me the message for everyone else. It's now global, not only here. Hallelujah. It says, you're busy justifying yourself to people. He says, but they're wasting your time because God knows your heart. You can go to media and lie. You can use your platforms and begin to lie. Whichever platform you create for yourself and begin to lie. God says, we are busy justifying yourself, but this is vanity because I know your heart. What is highly esteemed among men? Please don't forget, it's a prophecy from heaven. What is highly esteemed among men? What people are willing to die for? What is so popular among people? Oh my goodness. God says it's an abomination before God. It's an abomination before God. What people are fighting for. True men and women of God, no flesh and blood can fight for them. true men and women of God, they are in the palm of God's hand. It's God himself fighting for them. But when men of mere flesh and blood are fighting for you, my goodness. Paul went through untold persecutions. Who fought for Paul? Did you see anyone on the street protesting for Paul? Did you see anyone on social media fighting for Paul, defending Paul? No, because Paul's defender was the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was the true man of God. When people are fighting for you, that's not God. God fights. God is a man of warrior. He's a man of war, rather. God is a man of war. God can fight for himself. He fights for his own servants. Those who are not God's servants, they've got other things that are fighting for them. They're fighting for them. No one was there to fight for Jesus. Nobody. When Jesus was going through his hour of persecution, nobody was there to fight for Jesus. Why? He was a true man of God. A true man of God. Hallelujah. That's why a true man of God, Jesus told his people to stand down. A true servant of God will tell the people, don't stand down. This battle is not flesh and blood. Go in your closets and begin to fight, not in public. Not in public. Then you know this person, this woman is truly sent of God. Nobody fights for them on the street because the battle is not against flesh and blood. They tell their people to stand down. Jesus told his people, he told his boys, guys, stand down, don't fight. But those who are not servants of God, they've got other things that are fighting for them but God. If men defend you, God cannot defend you. If men fight for you, God cannot fight for you. That's why it says, have no trust, have no faith in the arm of flesh. But now we see the arm of flesh everywhere. We cannot see the arm of God, but the arm of flesh. Where's the arm of God? Because this person is not of God. Moses, he had mutiny against him. He had a rebellion against him. Who was fighting for Moses? Nobody. But God showed up. God showed up. Elijah was one man. One man. Who was fighting for Elijah? God himself, not flesh and blood. Church, please, let's wise up. Let's wake up. God is more than capable to fight for his own. God is more than capable. God is more than capable to fight for his own. See, when a man of God or a woman of God is going through trial or persecution, God has got his own army. But here's the thing. God's army is invisible. See, God's army, they are in their closets. God's army are on their knees. They are waging a battle in the spirit. Now, that's a true servant or man or woman of God. You won't see them everywhere. They're invisible. God knows who to talk to. Hallelujah. Remember what he said to Elijah? When Elijah said, Lord, they've killed all the prophets. I'm the only one left. I'm the only one left. He says, even the prophets, wherever they kill them, but I'm the only one left. God says, no. I've got other 7,000 that I've hidden. God's true people are hidden. God's army is hidden. It's not public. It's hidden. What we sing today, in our day, in our time, it's rock star performance. Rock star mentality. There's no God here. It's not God here. There's no God. But you see, in every era, in every dispensation, the people who have the truth of God, they are always a remnant. They are never the majority. Unfortunately, my daughter, they're always a remnant. You can't go to a marketplace and get truth. You can't go to a marketplace and buy truth. Truth is very rare. Truth is a gem. Truth is a treasure. Truth is precious. So I can't find it everywhere. It's where God has placed it. Finally tonight. Don't forget, even the people that are watching, Luke 16, verse 15, please. That's God's word. So to the wise, I've already spoken. Finally tonight, Jeremiah 48, 10a. Put it up. It says, cursed is he who does the work of the Lord deceitfully. Cursed is he who does the work of the Lord deceitfully. Cursed is he who does the work of the Lord deceitfully. They come under curse. They're cursed. Everyone has deceit in them. In the name of the Lord. Everyone who's trying to look out for themselves in the name of the Lord, wrongfully. See? So God says cursed. Cursed. Now here's the thing. We're talking about man in the church. You see, if the leader of the church is under curse, the minister is under curse, so how can the people escape the curse? How can they escape the curse? Hallelujah. Let's clap hands for him today.
Were you inspired by this message? Well, you can always join us at Unit 5B, London Lane, Selby, Johannesburg for our Sunday services at 9 a.m. Wednesday prayer services at 7 p.m. For further inquiries, contact us on 011-028-4981. Like us on Facebook at Kingdom of Sons Ministries. Catch us on Twitter at KOSM_world. Follow us on Instagram at KOSM_world. Also, to see more faith-building content, download our app on Google Play or iTunes by searching for Kingdom of Sons Ministries. Till we meet again, God bless you.